All right. I would like to bring my family up quickly. We will transition. I think we'll get this one. Judah, can you grab that mic right there by the speaker? And I've just got a few questions to ask these guys so they can share with you. Judah's our big outspoken one of the... He's like, I don't want to hold the mic. We'll let mom start off then. So as most of you guys know, we went to Egypt, and it originally kind of was going to be a little more of a vacation, but it ended up being a little bit of a mission trip, as much of a mission trip as the one we had taken. It was just a family deal there. So I just had a couple questions to kind of share a little bit about that experience, not so much the vacation side, but just some of the things they experienced there. So we'll start with my wife. So the most exciting or interesting thing that happened on the trip, or that you experienced on the trip?
So the things that you get to see, the pyramids and the Sphinx and the Valley of the Kings and the Valley of the Queens and the temples and all of that, most of us, before, you know, a few months ago, I had only ever seen those in textbooks and pictures. But to be standing in the Valley of the Kings and looking at the amazing artwork on the walls and all of the work that they put into that is absolutely amazing. There's nothing that can prepare you for walking into those places and seeing the things they built and the temples and all of that, because you just never imagine actually seeing it with your own eyes in real life, not just seeing it on a page. And it's definitely so much more real when you see it in real life.
Yeah. Very well, that would go with Judah's. We'll skip down a question for him because it kind of fits with his answer on this one. I didn't expect to. This was an interesting answer.
Yeah, I didn't expect I expected the pyramids to be like a lot bigger than they were. Like, don't get me wrong, they were big.
They are enormous.
I expected them to be like giant, massive spires into the sky. They weren't that big compared to what I expected.
They were pretty big. So, but I mean, it's what you come into expecting. So, Isaiah, what about you? The most exciting thing about the trip for you?
The food was weird and new.
And new, okay.
Yeah.
But you liked it.
Yeah,
we did. And I actually liked the food better this time, which is weird. So,
beef, chicken, or fish
everywhere.
Every meal.
So,
so don't be scared. Nothing weird. Beef, chicken, or fish.
It was good. It was good this time.
Which was beef.
I was very excited to be able to share the whole thing with my family. I was super excited about being able to do that and be able to see them experience not just the sights, but to experience the country and the people and to experience and see the mission that's going on there. That's the first time they've been outside the country. It's the first time they've been on a mission field, which we'll see that in just a moment. But
if anyone goes, make sure you get the bird tongue soup. It's not bird tongue, but it's really good.
It's orzo. Is that what it is?
Orzo. It's
orzo.
Little pastas.
Oh, it's so good. And then I learned it was the actual translation was bird tongue, and I was like, oh no, I love birds. But this soup is so good.
We still liked the soup.
It did not deter me at all. Judah, what about your most exciting or interesting thing? We skipped that question for you.
I have to say that the driving was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, what about it? Okay.
Everything about it. It was not normal.
So when Dusty went, he brought home pictures of the driving and little videos of the driving, and he was like, you'll never believe it. And I was like, yeah, I don't. Then I got there, and we got in the car for the first time, and we went driving, and I was like, oh, my goodness gracious, he's right. I didn't believe it. It is crazy. You'll just have to see it, because if I tell you about it, it won't capture it, but it's crazy driving. It makes New York look like a walk in the park.
Yeah. And people are walking across the street with all that crazy mess going on.
No, they're running.
They're a little bit of both. Oh, my goodness, I just moved. I think the next one, yes. Most moving or sobering thing about the trip? Isaiah's ready.
Everybody in Egypt wants to be a doctor when they grow up, and the preacher that we went to the church of, he gave up his doctor profession to be a preacher, so that's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. We had two of our, which we didn't know about this, but Retta, he wanted to be a doctor. But you had, they've got a little bit of a, I don't know, it's not as, it's not as.
It's a placement system.
Yeah, it's a placement system.
It starts in high school.
Arts. Or and so if you can't make the cut, you don't even have a chance. There's no hope of even doing it. So two of our tour guides, they're like, well, we wanted to be doctors, but we weren't smart enough to be doctors. So we went, they go to college for tour guide. Like, that's a college degree over there. And they know their stuff. But I didn't realize
like
that the first
teachers.
Time we were there.
They're like history teachers.
They really are. They're really good. And Retta and Iman, both of the those guys, they wanted to be doctors, but they couldn't be. So that's kind of that was kind of sad to learn that, because here, you know, if you dream it, you can be it. If you work hard, you know, that's the American way. You work hard, you can get it. There, you work your butt off, and if you don't make the cut, they say, nope, sorry. You're not touching anybody in the hospital or doctor's office. Judah, what about you? Most moving or sobering thing about the trip? Oh, was that his?
Yeah, that was the pyramid.
That was, no? Moving or sobering? Something that got you in the feels.
I'd have to say that it was like the garbage church. So there was a story that there was this one church and the government. Church and the government said that, well, we don't like Christianity, so we're going to test these Christians. And they started looking through the Bible and they're just like, all right, so at this point in the Bible it says, if you have enough faith, you can move a mountain. So let's try and get them to move a mountain. And they gave them 3 days, and they actually moved the mountain.
That's the story. Yeah, it was three friends. One was a Jew, and one was a Christian, and one was neither. And he loved to sit and watch these two argue. And one day, something was brought up about the Jew. And about prayer, and then he brought up the deal about what Judah was sharing. And the guy in the middle, he was like, is this true? Is this what's in your Bible? And so that's, yeah. And they believe it to be a true story. So I think for me, one of the, this time, last time I was a little frustrated because the, and this might be stepping on someone else's answer a little bit. It's a Muslim country, and like five times a day, they call you to prayer, and no one does it. Like, the whole time we were there, I think they said they saw one person, two people. And we had some people in one of the mosques. We didn't have to go to the Islam Museum, but we went to three mosques. So anyway, I think some of the must-dos there. But one of the things that really hit me this trip, the last trip, I really liked learning about Egyptian religion. And this time, I got even more of that. They understood so much without having, the Ankh, which I should have brought a picture of that. But the Ankh looks like a cross with a circle at the top. And that, thousands of years before Christ, that was their symbol of life. You see it in all the hieroglyphics. It's in the Judgment Day picture and all that. That's their, and I believe that's that Romans, you know, 120 where God had placed in them this thumbprint of who he is, that they understood this means life. I don't know how or why, but this means life. And for thousands of years, they understood there was something more than life on earth. They understood that how we act and how we live, that morals matter, how you treat other people, and that matters not just for this life, it matters for the life to come. And they understood all that thousands of years before Jesus. And then when Jesus died and rose again, and then his disciples dispersed, you know, different disciples doing different ways. And Mark, who wrote the Gospel Mark in our Bibles, he came down to Egypt. And he landed in Alexandria, the northern part there right on the edge of the Mediterranean. And he shared the gospel with Egyptians who understood all these things. And I could just imagine the keys coming together for them and going, and him seeing an Ankh and going, hey, I can explain why this represents life to your mind. And Christianity took over Egypt. It took about 400 years, but it took over the whole nation of Egypt. And then Islam came in and took it over slowly. And one of the things that was really sad to hear was that Christianity asked for 10% tithe. Islam asked for 2.5%. And because they were impoverished, they went to Islam because it was cheaper. And that was really, really sad for me. Because here was a nation that was prepped and ready by God. And you can see it all in their history. And Christianity hit and it had life. And then it didn't take long, much at all for Satan to do to knock them off. And so that was very, very sobering for me. I didn't expect to see or feel that.
So I was a little worried about carrying a whole big pile of money through all of the places. And so we got these belts that we put on under our clothes that had the money tucked in it.
Well, explain why we were carrying. Some people might not know.
Oh, sorry. Because so Safa cannot receive wire transfers because they've stopped all wire transfers. So the only way for him to get money for the mission is for people to bring it in with them. So we were all carrying money. So not only do I have to worry about my money, but I have to worry
about... Even my son who caught my ADHD.
I have to worry about their money also. And how am I going to make sure that we keep a hold of all of this? And so we all had money belts that we put under our clothes. So I never, ever worried about it because it's right there. And when we went through customs, I think there's a story about that. But we didn't have to, say anything about our money. We just walked through all of the gates and right out into Cairo and into the van with Safa and to our hotel and up to the room. And then we gave him our money. So for anyone who's worried about carrying that, get a money belt, and then you won't think about it, and it'll arrive safely with you. And so, yeah, I was really worried about that, but it wasn't even a little bit of an issue. And they had theirs under their clothes, too, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, tracking down a whole bunch of money in an airport that someone had left sitting at the last, you know, restaurant or something.
Like the...
No, we don't talk about that.
So yeah, with the, and I carried 37,000 through TSA, and then I got their belts to them because so don't wear your belt through TSA. They might ask you to take that off, and you don't want to be no. So I had all those in my bag going through TSA. We got through TSA, then we got all strapped on and went through three different flight changes and all that. So yeah, the story, and I don't. Try and make that one quick. When we got there, we got detained. So next time any of us go, make sure that Safa tells us where you're staying.
An address.
Because we did not have that, and we got up. And sometimes and their law is very different than ours. Their law depends on who is there and who is enforcing it and how they want to interpret or make up the law. They're the one with the badge or the gun or whatever, and what they say goes, and you'll get different stories from different people, and that can be very frustrating. But we came through, and our whole plane was getting off, and we were filling out all the stuff to get into in through customs, and the lady that dealt with us, we filled everything out, but it had destination, and I was like, I don't know where we're going. Our host didn't tell us where we were staying, what hotel or anything like that. And she said, she took our passports. They were in her hand at the time. She stuck them in her pocket. She said, you don't get these until I get an address. I was like, ma'am, I don't have the phone number of my host. I just have his email address.
I don't have Wi-Fi right
now.
He's
waiting. Yeah, I didn't have Wi-Fi. I didn't have, you know, and even if I'd jumped onto a signal and paid the $10, which wouldn't have been a big deal, I still wouldn't have had any way of getting in touch with him. So one of the people came over and they were like, just write this down. And I was like, I don't want to get in trouble. Like, this girl seemed like she meant business. So I was like, I'm not going to lie about where we're going. And so we were there for half hour or longer, 45 minutes. And finally another guy came over because everyone's gone. It was just us there. And he came over. He was a little more authority, and he found out what was going on. He went over to the girl and he's like, grabbed the passports and said, here. Okay. That it was that easy. Like, you know, So that's kind of an example of how their rule works. So, but because we were delayed, Safah had sent someone into the airport to find us. So when he got us, he just fast passed us through everything, which was pretty cool. So that did get us past having to declare our money. But you are supposed to declare the money that you're carrying in. We just somehow just threw that. So, top challenge that you could see for the gospel moving forward in Egypt. Unless, did I miss any of your other answers yet? Everybody's got, okay, so last question.
Why did one of you say that it was sobering to see little kids running by police?
No, that was not expected.
Oh, okay.
So what?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right. Top challenge you would see for the gospel moving forward in Egypt?
Okay. I would say that, no one really cares about religion in general. Because, like, there are the five prayers, and no one but, like, two people and the people in the mosques listen to them. So why would they really care about Christianity? Just another waste of time, in their opinion.
So, yeah, mine was kind of the same. If it doesn't seem to affect their daily life and it's government controlled and you do it because the government says to do it, if it's more of a personal religion, then would they take to that? Would they understand that? Would they go for that? Because it's not rules and government enforced. It's personal and relationship. And I think that would be a very different thing for them culturally.
They have a very bad, like, economic situation when it comes to the actual how much money the government has. So I feel like it'd be very difficult to set up new churches because they don't have much money there.
They don't have a lot of space to build a new one either.
There's buildings everywhere. So yeah, that's, and I think those are very, very, very good things for us to be thinking about and praying about on this side of the ocean. That when you take money over, that is a blessing for them. And it's, I mean, that money that we took over was Cass's money. People, churches had collected that money. And they just need people to be able to transport it over there. And so to be able to transport that over there, that's huge. And some of the things we've heard here, you know, the pyramids or the, you know, Karnak Temple and all the amazing things in Luxor, the strawberries. you have to go there to experience it. And it's really, they've moved past a third world country. They are what is considered a developing country now. And just in the 2 years that we were gone, things have changed. We had very few people bugging us on the streets, which I think that means more of them had jobs, which I think is pretty cool. Because I told them that, man, everywhere you go, it's brother, brother, buy this. And we only encountered like a couple groups. And they were real cool about it. You're like, no. And they're like, okay. And I was like, that's not, you guys are not getting the Egypt experience like I did. But I think some of that is because they're finding work that's more substantial than trying to peddle scarves or fake papyrus bookmarks or whatever on the sidewalk. So yeah, but to go and experience it, and it's really a win-win. You get to take money to Cass, and that helps Cass. You get to experience the country, which is amazing. And we get to experience what they are involved in. And the more you're connected with any of these missions, Cass in Egypt or Living Water in, well, we have two Living Waters, Living Water in India or Living Water in Haiti, to go with us on some of these trips. And we wouldn't go, and they will structure the trips based on the group that's there for safety. I know when Walt and Joby went to India, it was a little bit of a different trip than when Walt and Madeline and Terry and the girls went. They kept it a little safer, correct? So they will. So whatever type of group we take, if we take a group of youth, then they're going to gear mission trips for those different things. So we are a very mission-minded church. And it's great to give, but it's even better to go and experience that. So I've got a quick video and share slides so you guys can step down if that way you're not in the limelight anymore. Give them a hand for sharing. Thank you, ma'am. And we can dim the lights and get this quick video here. So it was all right to laugh a little bit at that. When I saw that video, any of us who were on a mission trip for the first time, if they would have had cameras pointing at us during the worship, we would have had the same look on our face. It just looked like they were Photoshopped in there. They didn't even look like they belonged. And so I thought that was kind of humorous. We just happened to go. The very first church they got a chance to go to was a televised, that church broadcast into, if I remember hearing him correctly, 6 different Arab-speaking countries. That's Pastor Stephen, who is translating for me, and a super awesome guy. And that ministry is a ministry that's separate from CAS, but God had given him the vision in 2017 to start broadcasting. And so by the time 2020 happened with COVID, they had worked out a lot of the squeakiness of it, and they had gotten a nice solid ministry base there. So it was really, really, really good for them. So that was, we got a chance to meet with, get with Pastor Stephen. I think that was pretty awesome that Safah had set that up that way, that I could share with him, and that large ministry, and that could be some future things here with our church in talking with Pastor Stephen and different things going on. I did have a slide there for Mike. That was the next one. There we go, Mike. I discovered something this trip. Next one. Next slide. They have strawberry juice. I don't know how many times I had that when I was there. It was good. And I have a picture for you. A lot. I have a picture for Madeline. One day we were just so worn out, and so we ate dessert for dinner. That's all we had for dinner was dessert. And when you go with Madeline, she has desserts. So she's a good person to take with you on a mission trip, because you don't have to worry about asking. She'll ask, and then you're like, well, if Madeline's having desserts, I guess. So this is Safah. For those of you guys who don't know Safah, that's Safah. And these are commentaries stored in one of the 2 rooms that they're stored in at their school. Our church helped to fund these commentaries, and he's actually one of those. I think it's the one in his right hand there is the commentary on Revelation. I was like, oh, hold the one on Revelation, because we've been in a series on that. So next one is the other place. This is where they're all laid out and displayed, all the commentaries. And then this was new for us, I think, going to the next. So the classrooms are fully functional now. I don't remember that. I thought the classrooms were pretty empty last time, yeah? So yeah, this is really, really cool. There's 2 different classrooms like that. The kitchen's all set up. Things are rocking and rolling there. We helped to support building that building also. We've had a lot of hands into different things that have gone on with CAS. So in addition to that, my family, we got a chance to sit down with the possible successor of CAS. So they've been working for about 2.5 years to kind of get this guy together. I don't think he's come before the board yet, has he, Mike? Have you met? Okay, so I will leave that. I won't go any further than that, but we got a chance to have lunch and dinner with him and another one of his ministry partners. And that was a pleasure getting to know him and talking with him and looking forward to the future that we will get a chance to share as hopefully he is the next guy to continue all the things that Safah started in CAS. So real quick, Malachi 3:10. Just over 4 years ago, in January and February of 2018, we journeyed through a book called Take God at His Word. For years of my preaching time here, I purposefully avoided anything that would sound like health and wealth gospel. Okay, because the idea of that theology is that if you are in Christ, then you're going to be healthy, or he's going to take care of all your wealth. And I don't believe that. Sometimes going through things as a Christian, you go through awful stuff as a Christian. So I don't believe in health and wealth. So I've dodged that a lot, so much that to a fault. When we came across this book, Take God at His Word, you guys remember, we all went through this as a church. And I was like, you know what? There are promises in God's Word. And it was through that series that a lot of us took the Malachi 3:10 challenge, and we stepped up our giving. Let's revisit that passage here real quick. Malachi 3, starting in verse 8, it says, "Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are you robbing me? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed as your finger hits the side of the screen. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. During that series, we revisited our giving, and we recommitted to giving and returning, not giving, but returning 10%. And I will let you know, for over 4 years, we have been 100% faithful in that commitment, as I believe that a lot of you have been as well. And I shared with you a few years after that commitment in 2018, it might have been the very next year, that I started looking, and we were giving first fruits, which means that you're giving out of your gross, not your net. You're giving before taxes are taken out, before other things are taken out, so it's gross. And we were giving off that. Our tithe was based on that because of the first fruits understanding. But then when I started looking at my package, my pay package, that, well, I get health insurance, and I have a cell phone allotment that's given to reimburse me for having a cell phone because that's a business expense. And I thought, we should probably be tithing on the whole salary package, not just the money part of it. And that was a big, because you guys know how much health insurance costs. That was a big addition to our tithe. And I really wrestled with that. And Jess and I prayed about it, and we wrestled with it together. And we decided to step that up and to give based on all of our salary. Jess has gotten raises. I've gotten raises during this time. And every time we have, we've increased our giving to keep up with all of that. And I share that with you on this Sunday. I think it's very important. We transported Cass's money with us. That wasn't our money, but that was Cass's money. And the church provided 10 communion sets that we traveled and took with us. Those were the only things that were church or Cass funded. The whole trip, I was able to do that for my family, and there was no other assistance there. And I wholly believe that that was a God thing, that being faithful and God blessing the way that I've been handling money in the last 4 years. We've been credit card debt free for 4 years, which has been pretty awesome. It's allowed us to do some of these things. God has led us to some really, really awesome stuff. I've shared with you some of the stories, and I have a handful here to share with you, but we're way out of time. So there have just been blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you of this promise in Malachi 3:10. And there's a passage, that passage is at the bottom of your bulletin. I want to leave that for you to fill out on your own, to sit down sometime later this evening and to open up Malachi 3:10 and write those words down and think about that promise. God says, test me in this. He doesn't say that very often. In fact, there are places in the Bible where he says, don't test me. But on this subject, he says, test me in this. You bring the tithe, you bring 10%, and I will open the floodgates of heaven. And this trip was a great opportunity to be able to share with you guys. This is just one part of the floodgates that we have been experiencing. And financially, it's easy to record all the other pieces of the floodgate from just being faithful. So maybe this is a time for you as you're, you know, our budget this year, church budget just keeps going up for good reasons. And maybe you've had some raises and you haven't revisited that. So maybe this would be inspiration to take a look there. Maybe this is a challenge. Maybe this is the first time you've heard about Malachi 3:10. I encourage you, the sermons are online January, February of 2018. And maybe you haven't ventured into that. Let me challenge you. It is an adventure, and it is an adventure well worth taking. It's really, really cool. Or maybe you're here, and maybe that's gotten a little stale, and Maybe you needed some inspiration there and say, you know what? Yeah, that is real. I remember when I started that in 18, or when I stepped up in 18, or when I turned it up in 18, what that felt like and what God was doing. And if that's fallen off any, then maybe today's the day to look at that and say, we need to get that back together. And I'm not saying this because our church is greedy. Our church is doing good because you guys have been faithful and we're... I'm saying this because it is a personal thing for me. I have seen it and experienced it. This whole trip was a result of it. And I don't want to hold that to myself. If those same blessings are available to you for just taking God at his word, I want to pass that along. And I didn't want this event to go by without that being attached to it because the whole time through it, I was like, this is... In fact, right before we left, on Wednesday night, I ran in here, and we've gotten to where we're tithing and we're giving more, which is that's when it's an offering. You have tithes, and offering is above. And so I ran in that Wednesday night to put in our tithe in the box back there, and our tithe and offering, and I told God, I said, this offering that's above our tithe, it's a thank offering today. We talked about a thank offering last November. I said, this is a thank offering for allowing me to take my family to Egypt. And I'll share one story. When we were over there, I'm ADD, ADHD, that's no mystery to anybody. So I have systems. My wedding ring, sometimes you don't see it on my finger. I wear it, but it's my hands swell, whatnot. So it is always in one place. It's always in one place, so I don't lose it. I keep my shoes in the same place, mostly, so that I'm not running around looking for them, because that's the way I am. I have to do these things for myself to function. So when I've got a lot of money, I'm going to be watching after that money. And that money was with us, and it was with me. We were safe to leave it in the van. So we understood from our trip that we were there before, and no one gave me any warning difference. But we had $400. My only understanding is it was stolen. I don't misplace $400 very easily, and I don't know why they only took 400. Maybe that's all they needed. I don't know. Right before we left, on that very same Wednesday, which was it would have been a week before then, Friday. Earlier that week, I had someone that's semi connected to the church here, and they said we'd like to give something to you for the trip. And this was the only thing outside of things that had happened. I was shocked. I was like, okay, sure. And they asked that they come by. And so they came by before Taekwondo. And they gave me an envelope. And they said, here, we want you to be able to enjoy your trip. Use this, you know, as you see fit or as you need. And I was like, thank you very much. You know, and then after I got home that night and opened the envelope, it was a sum of money. And I was like, oh my goodness, wow. Well, we had already pulled out the cash that we were going to take to pay for our in-country expenses and to pay and have extra for, you know, souvenirs, whatnot. So I was like, well, I could leave this money at home, but I don't feel comfortable leaving it at home when I'm not at home, so we'll just take it with us. I'm really glad I did, because that sum of money was $400 exactly. I'm not saying that God willed the money to be taken, but that possibly God foresaw that it would be taken and said, here, I want to make sure this is not going to keep you from being able to take COVID tests to come home. I thought that was pretty amazing. And Jess and I were talking about that, and you know, we don't want, you know, the person that did that to find out about that and say, well, my $400 was stolen. No, God used your $400. And we even talked about it after it happened, because we were like, why would they only take $400? We had more than $400 there. Only $400 was taken. Maybe that's all they needed. We don't know what they needed or what they were using it for. If they were just truly in need, yeah, stealing it's wrong. But what if God knew that they needed something and he told this person, I want you to give $400 to them because this is going to happen and this person needs to have that? We don't know. But these are the type of things that you're setting yourself up for when you are trusting God with your money. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for all of the things that we've talked about today, Father, for the image of your Son, for Palm Sunday, for the mission of CAS. Father, we pray for Safa and for his possible successor. Father, we ask that you help us to be faithful, not just in our finances, but in everything. But that finances are an easy thing to start with. Father, I ask that that we would read Malachi 3:10, and reread it, revisit it if we need to, and be reminded of the challenge you have given to us. Thank you so much for taking care of us the way that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.